On this episode of the Vegan Chub Club podcast, we dive into activism. Today, we have a special guest, and we discuss everything from animal sanctuaries to fat person solidarity in a time of fat phobia and quarantine. You don't want to miss this one. Do you love the Vegan Chub Club and want to see us grow? Share us with your chubby vegan friends. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and be sure to leave a review. Let's get into the episode. Hello, everyone. It's your host, Miranda. Welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Chub Club. If you're just randomly tuning in, go ahead and scroll back to episodes 1 and 2 of season 4 so that you can catch up on all the latest Chub Club news. We're excited to be taking on a new series right now, which involves hearing your stories and inviting on podcast guests who have significant stories of their own and/or expertise in their field. So today, I'm really excited to be joined by Heather, also known on Instagram as the Official Fat Vegan. And Heather, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I've been a big Chub Club fan from the beginning, so this is a really awesome opportunity for me. So thanks for having me.
Yay! Thanks for being here and for offering to be our first official guest, besides Morgan, of course, who was on one of the earlier seasons with Joelle and Eden. But yeah, as far as this new series goes, where it's a bunch of new guests in a row, I'm just excited that you have launched us in this endeavor. As far as an introduction to you, you're known as the Official Fat Vegan on Instagram, and you have a lot of activism that you partake in and sanctuary work. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and about those things?
Sure. So I became vegan about, oh gosh, maybe 3 years ago now. And just like, you know, most people do when they go vegan, I had like a really strong desire to advocate on behalf of animals and really spread the message of what was going on in animal agriculture. And that kind of coupled with the experience that I had as someone who lives in a fatter body. In the vegan community, I wanted to kind of marry the fat activism and the animal activism into one account. So the idea for Official Fat Vegan was born. And I use the word fat because I think it's important to kind of liberate that word from a lot of the negativity that really surrounds it. It's mostly hurled as an insult or kind of the worst thing that we can hope for ourselves. So I wear it with pride. And, you know, one of the biggest things that I often receive in response to that title is, oh, you're not fat, or you're not that fat, which is always interesting to see the different ways that people react to my body. But, you know, this is my reality, and that's a word that I freely attribute to myself. So I thought it was important to include it in the title. For a while, I had a website and I was writing regularly. But as the years have gone by, I've kind of pulled back from that a little bit because I recently got married. And for those of you who don't know, getting married is a full-time job. So the writing and posting has kind of taken a back seat for a little while, but I am feeling the itch to get back into it, which is a big reason why I'm so excited to be a part of the Vegan Chub Club now, because it is igniting those old feelings of empowerment that I felt often when I was posting regularly. So thank you, Miranda and Eden and Joelle, for having me be a part of this amazing community.
Yes, we have had our eye on you for a while. So it's just exciting to get some of these interviews into motion and to really hear how it all has been cultivated for you, what it is like for you living in your body and doing the work that you do. Because of course, everybody is different, and it's just important to hear everyone's story. And there are those super relatable moments regardless. So it's just good to hear your side of things too. How did you get into sanctuary work? You work at a New York
Sanctuary, correct?
Yes, I work at Catskill Animal Sanctuary in the Hudson Valley in upstate New York. I just passed my 1 year anniversary there, actually.
Congrats.
Thank you. It's a dream job, literally. I actually went vegan because I visited a farm sanctuary. I moved up to the Hudson Valley to be close to my husband, who grew up in this area. And, you know, I had been a vegetarian for like 9 years at this point, you know, very much a cheeseaholic, as they say. And on a whim, you know, we decided to go to Woodstock Farm Sanctuary, which is another sanctuary in the area. And I went on a tour and met like baby goats and chickens and turkeys. And if you've never met a turkey, I cannot recommend it more highly, because it was like one of the most eye-opening experiences I've ever had, because they are so friendly. They'll just sit in your lap and purr like a cat. And it's just like, honestly, like I was like, oh yeah, I'm so excited to go to this farm sanctuary and meet some goats and some cows. But I fell in love with the turkeys so hard that I went back almost every single weekend. And I went vegan because of my experiences there. So from that moment on, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be involved in changing people's hearts and minds. I want to be involved in rescuing these beautiful animals. And I want to hang out with turkeys all the time.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That is so cute. I didn't know that turkeys... So personally, it's great for me to hear all of this from you, because honestly, I grew up in like the Midwest in some farmland areas, and there was one sanctuary nearby, but it still wasn't by any means super close. So I never really got out to a lot of sanctuaries. So just to hear and see your photos all the time of, especially the ones with you with the turkeys, it's just really like eye-opening. I mean, I'm a vegan, obviously I'm not going to eat these animals, but it's just eye-opening to see more of the endearing side of how they should be treated humanely, how they should, you know, be looked at as equals to dogs or cats or any other pets that we might have.
Totally, totally. And that's the thing that disarms most people when they come to visit us or any other sanctuary, is that the personality of each of these animals shine through like most people don't ever expect. It's like, even if you've read a million times that like 10 chickens are as individual as 10 dogs or as individual as 10 humans, it's not the same as seeing it firsthand. And like any person who has multiple animals at home will tell you that like they each have their different preferences and likes and dislikes. But for some reason, like especially farmed animals don't get that same kind of treatment in our brains, even if we've heard it before. We just don't associate those types of behaviors with farmed animals, but they are amazing. I love each and every one of them.
Mm-hmm. So since you've been involved in this so deeply and passionately, I'm sure you run across people who obviously aren't even vegan at all. I mean, is it difficult for you to kind of have to feel like you're going back to square one to explain how that is to non-vegans, like to explain that concept to them?
Well, I was a tour guide for 2 years. Well, I led tours for 3 years, three seasons I led tours. So I'm not a stranger to explaining the truths of animal agriculture time and time again. But I mean, I come from a family that's very not vegan, not vegetarian. Many of my friends are not vegan, not vegetarian. And it's hard to believe something so strongly. And to like, for me, when people eat animals around me, which they do, and I don't, you know, I'm not at a point in my life right now where I would say, if we're going to go out, please don't eat animals around me. It does affect me. It's very hard to explain. It's just, yeah, it definitely affects me, because to me, it's never food. It's always someone on a plate. Mm-hmm. And especially like Thanksgiving is always a really difficult time for me. And I actually, that is a place where I've drawn a line because turkeys have come to mean so much to me and they're actually my favorite animal now. I will not attend a Thanksgiving if there's going to be a dead bird in the center of the table. So for the past 3 years, I have had all vegan Thanksgivings, and my very not vegan, very not vegetarian family has indulged me with that. So it's a delight to see, even if it's a fight every year, it's a delight to see that we can all still get together, sit around a table, be thankful for one another without having that unsightly dead body in the middle of the table.
Wow. So you were able to work with them on that and like still show up, and they were able to say like, yep, that's okay. We want you here. We're not going to have the bird on the table then.
I definitely wouldn't say it was easy, and it's sure. It's a discussion. No, yeah. It's still a discussion every single time, but yeah.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for you for that. That is, Thanksgiving can be the worst for vegans. No joke. I mean, for so many reasons, but on the vegan end of it, I just think that was what I have always struggled with over the last decade plus. And it's just, it's one of those times where people, I'm sure a lot of our audience has found themselves feeling bullied by family members or just feeling super oppressed and feeling super oddly like guilty, maybe even. I've felt guilt before. You know, it's a form of gaslighting to guilt a vegan for not partaking in eating meat. And I think we've gone through that phase, you know, where it's like at first people were like, vegans are really pushy, vegans are really mean and narrow-minded. And then we came out more in the world, and I feel like we were like, no, that's not true at all. And now, you know, it's kind of just this neutral ground where I think people know that eating vegan is better for them health-wise usually, and I think people know that it's obviously got a lot of benefits to the environment. And hopefully if they can't see that animals are, you know, all equal as potential pets or companions, then that there are other benefits as well. And that's just amazing that you got you got to work with your family on that. Even though it's work every single year, like you're saying, it's still amazing to me that that can be an amicable situation, because for so many people, it's just not.
Yes. Food is like so ingrained in our culture and in our who we are as people. Food mm-hmm. has come to define us in such an interesting way. And that's a big part of why it's so touchy for, I'd say, all people, including vegans, to discuss what we eat.
Yes. I was just talking to a friend the other day about how she was dating a guy, and this is right before like the quarantine and the lockdowns and everything. And they're in Europe, but they were dating, and out of nowhere, like knowing that she was vegan, he would just defensively out of nowhere say, hey, just so you know, I'm never gonna go vegan. And eventually that led to her deciding that they maybe not right for each other. But I just think that that example is just kind of that classic example of, even if we're not usually really quote unquote pushy about things, I think we're passionate. I think we know how upsetting it all is, and we have so many emotions about it, that if anyone asks us any kind of a simple question, it can be hard to maintain that composure, because you know, you just feel so passionately about it. But my point, I guess, is that, you know, a lot of people will come off the bat just defensive out of nowhere, just because they know that you happen to be vegan. And I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that before too.
Yeah. I mean, I still get all the time when I'm introduced to new people and it comes up that I'm vegan, because I'm usually not the person who says it, but it does usually come up. They usually will say something like, oh, I had no idea that you were vegan because you didn't tell me right away. Like, that's vegans aren't really like this, y'all. Like,
I know. Well, and I think it also, we've taken care of ourselves for so long, or we've known that we have to at this point in time, that we're just like, well, I guess it's none of your business if I'm vegan or not, because if I don't want to eat your food, then I just am going to take care of myself. And holidays can be really tough, and people are always like, I want to be the host. I want to ultimately take care of you. You need to tell me everything that you're, you know, that's in your diet. But even when you do, that doesn't mean that they're going to accommodate you. I've found out.
Right. Right. And I'm someone who really likes to be in control. So when it comes to an all vegan Thanksgiving, I'm the person who has cooked the meals for the past 3 years. And I love it that way. I wind up cooking me and my husband for like 4 or 5 hours, but it's so worth it. And all the food is so good. And it doesn't take as long because there's not a bird roasting in the oven forever.
Mm-hmm. I just hate it. I hate all the jokes. I hate the turkey coma jokes because I find that offensive. And I also find when people say food coma or turkey coma offensive on a coma, you know, subject. I just think none of that is really appropriate.
Yeah.
It's so touchy. It's just so touchy.
Vegan stuff aside, the holidays can be a really difficult time for people who are living in fat bodies as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because of all of the jokes and the memes and the, you know, judgment that maybe we receive from our friends or family. It's an interesting time. And we are getting a continuation of that through this quarantine period.
Yes, we are. We sure are. As far as the fat phobia that is surrounding the internet left and right, I mean, I'm feeling like, depending on who you follow, there are equal amounts of fat phobic memes and then people shredding the fat phobia. So that being said, you know, I do think that it's important to know who you're following. And if you disagree or you feel hurt by what they're posting, you should absolutely unfollow them. That is your choice. And you should not have to feel subjected to see that shit, in my opinion. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about the kind of stuff we've seen. I mean, I know our audience has been concerned about it, has been dealing with it. And I think it is offensive.
Yeah, it's not only offensive, but it's harmful. So one of the things that I've seen is that there was a Twitter feed that somebody had circulated that people with higher BMIs may or may not be being denied ventilators when they become ill with COVID-19. And I spent a lot of time trying to fact check that. And it's actually it's impossible to tell. Essentially, on the fact-checking website that I went on, it says unknown if it's true or not, because it's just this is happening too fast. The situation is evolving every single day. So there's no way to know for sure. But I don't know about you, Miranda, but based on the way that fat people are often treated in the hospitals and doctor's offices, I buy it.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's very possible, unfortunately. I think it's hard to tell. I mean, it's so touchy. It's so tricky. I don't even honestly have words to describe how I'm feeling about it, because it's really unfortunate that this happens.
Yes. And if everyone listening, if you don't follow your fat friend on Instagram, I recommend her account very highly, because there are so many amazing articles that she's written and like Twitter threads that she's done herself specifically about how fat people are treated in the medical society that I have found to be empowering and uplifting, especially in a time that is so rife with negativity towards fat people. Mm-hmm. So that is a fantastic resource to check out. Yeah.
And I know that Eden has actually worked in some capacity in the medical field in the past. So she has a lot of opinions as well on all the things that have occurred there. And she has a great YouTube video too about a story about going in and getting her blood pressure checked and how they didn't do that appropriately and how she explained to them how they're supposed to appropriately do it. And they did it and then everything was fine. But they were basically telling her, you know, it's because of her weight and things like that, just off the bat. And I've heard these horror stories before. I actually, you know, I guess fortunately don't go to the doctor too often, but I mean, knock on wood, I haven't heard too many things like personally, the last time I went to the doctor, it seemed pretty neutral, but I just, you hear these horrible stories from so many people about the fat phobia, and like, you don't actually need to get weighed at the doctor, and you don't need to keep track of weight at all. It's just really frustrating to hear
that
it's being perpetuated.
Yes, it is very frustrating. I too have been very fortunate in that I've not faced too much discrimination in the doctor's office because of my size, but I would say I have definitely been bullied into diets by my doctors in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've actually, I went on a diet once when I was, oh my God, I think I was in like high school or something. I found these, oh my God, I wish I could remember what they were called, but they were these over the counter, like it was like the cactus pills or something that they were like a huge rage, like 20 years ago or something like that. But I was on them and my heart would start racing, and they claimed to be mostly vitamins, but that they would help you like shed water and like lose weight and all that stuff. And I went to the doctor and I was like, I think I'm having heart palpitations. I'm not really sure. And she was like, it's this supplement you're taking. It's not good for you and you shouldn't take it.
I was like, oh, great.
So yeah, I mean, that's just an example of when the doctor is there for you, but also how diet culture is very harmful and dangerous.
Yes. And I love how Eden always says, like, we don't have to prove our health to people. Like, we have the same rights to exist as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was more active as official fat vegan and I used to speak and table at veg fests, I have had people come up to me and be like, you're not healthy, like you're more at risk for a heart attack, like you're gonna die and get diabetes, and then walk
away.
Are
you serious?
Yeah, and then walk away before I had time to respond. And I'm thinking in my head, like, you just took one look at me and you're saying that, but like, what, would you say the same thing to a thin person who eats bacon every morning for breakfast and smokes cigarettes?
Or to your mother or father who are more at risk for certain things because of their diet as well? Like, would you really think about who you're... Oh, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, was not my favorite time.
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm glad that I'm here on the Vegan Chub Club to talk to people about these things, because I'm sure it sounds like I don't have a lot to contribute to that, but that's the point, is like, I feel like I'm learning, and I'm learning more about the fat phobic culture that, you know, somehow I've kind of weaved in and out of, and I don't hear a lot of those stories firsthand, so it's just kind of shocking in general to me, and I think it's important to share it and to make sure that we stand up and say that that's not right. It's not okay that we've been treated like that, or that our peers have been treated like that.
Yeah, and I think that would be one of my biggest like pieces of advice that I could give the listeners during this time of quarantine and in general, especially in the vegan community, when memes are shared that suggest, you know, gaining weight during quarantine is the worst thing, or, you know, some of my personal favorite fatphobic memes where it's a thin person and a fat person and it says, guess the vegan, stuff like that, you know, yeah. just don't be afraid to say something, because that, like, speaking up against that sort of thing is hard, especially when it's like someone you love or respect perpetuating that ideology. But by speaking out against it, it's so important to help people understand that fat people have just as much right to exist as thin people. And it kind of makes folks question the normalcy that a thinner body is a better body.
Mm-hmm. I do think that's totally what we need to be doing, is just kind of commenting directly and making those statements, because it's so easy for people to take it as a joke. Every single day that I get on Facebook, which I've told myself I'm not going to do, but I end up doing anyway. even if it's brief. I mean, and I also am trying to like moderate a couple pages, including the Vegan Chub Club Facebook group, which if you're not a part of, you should totally join. Super fun. But when I do get on Facebook, I see these friends and family members who are just willy-nilly posting these hilarious seeming memes, and they're just all about fat phobia and being like, oh yeah, this is gonna be me. And even people who are smart enough to know better, who are actual good friends of mine, I'm surprised that they're joking about the quarantine 15, 19, 45 pound gaining experience that they are joking about. And I just, I haven't let it in so much. I've just kept scrolling and rolled my eyes because in a way, I guess I feel like some of those people really aren't going to be gotten through to. But it's also, I don't know if that's the argument. Maybe is it about it getting through to them, or is it about putting it out there for everyone to see that that's not okay? Or is it about just speaking up for yourself in general? It's probably a combination of all three, but...
Well, I encourage you, next time you see something like that, if you don't feel comfortable commenting about it publicly, then send a DM or a text message and just say something as simple as, hey, I noticed that you share this, and I just, you know, want to say that this type of thing perpetuates negative ideology about fat bodies and normalizes hatred towards people in larger bodies. And if you think that gaining 19, 45, however many pounds is truly such a bad thing, I might ask you to analyze why that is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I've actually done that. So someone who I care about very, very, very much in a group text sent something that, you know, was of course meant to be lighthearted. And that's the thing when people share these things. No one ever intends to be offensive or hurt someone unless they do. But most of the time they don't. Right. Most of the time they don't. They're just trying to share a laugh, right? That's what we all want in these difficult times, is we all want a little smile or a little laugh. So they're not trying to be intentionally harmful, but diet culture is so thoroughly ingrained in our brains that it can be really difficult for people to kind of take a step back and examine some of the harm that can really come from that. It perpetuates this culture where it's continually okay for memes like that to arise that are harmful to people who are suffering with EDs or people who are struggling with body dysmorphia or difficult body image. It's like, you know, PC culture or whatever, and whatever your beliefs are about that. But what's the harm in looking at something and examining, like, is this going to offend someone before I post it?
Yes, that is a question that I think we all need to ask ourselves, vegan or not vegan, fat or not fat, like, is what I'm doing in the world going to perpetuate hatred or harm to a demographic? And reaching out directly is a great way to do that. It sounds intimidating, especially if you've been bullied in the past. There is, of course, that fear that you will continue to get bullied, but there's got to be there's got to be a way to stand up. And I think if you can't, maybe reach out directly, like maybe start spreading your own memes or messages that are the opposite of that. Or maybe post publicly on your own page or handle or story and just say, like, it's not cool seeing all of this. This is what it does. This is what it perpetuates. And that is harmful. And I encourage everyone to think before they act.
Yeah.
But taking any action at all is kind of, I think, necessary for what we're calling this fat person solidarity in a time of fat phobia and quarantine.
Yes. And actually, that just had me thinking that, you know, you're right. Maybe people aren't quite ready to comment or message back. But, you know, if we have the Vegan Chub Club group on Facebook, what an opportunity for us all to get together and vent about some of the things that may have harmed or hurt us that we've seen, or give us maybe a little ammunition to respond to those things with. I think, you know, the Vegan Chub Club community is a great opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, that's actually a great idea, because, you know, that's a place where we can vent in the group. But also, if you see something that you would like to share, please, like, message me on Instagram or email or DM on Facebook. The Facebook DMs are harder to see on a on a public page, by the way. Just if I don't get back to you, that's why. But that being said, I just think if you see something that you want shared, let me know and I'll post it on the Vegan Chub Club page and you can share that as your voice. If you don't know exactly how to say it in your own words, or if you want to be in solidarity with someone or something rather than floating out there and feeling kind of, you know, nervous about it. I think we could all come together in that way. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I just joined it this morning and there was a post about your favorite vegan recipe. So I'm already excited about it.
Yes. And I mean, like, self-promotion, if you are a good recipe creator, I mean, I think that's totally fine. If it gets out of hand, you know, we'll have to, you know, dim it down a little, but I think it's great to share people who are awesome vegan influencers with recipes, bloggers, other public speakers, things like that. And we've got a few awesome people in the group, you know. We've got about 20 of us almost right now, and we're having some good conversations, and everyone's super friendly. I think talking with Eden about it before she stepped back a little bit, we were kind of, you know, thinking and brainstorming of ways to bring people together. And I think that Instagram has been a great platform for that. But I also think that Facebook tends to be, well, I don't want to pigeonhole Facebook, but that's where a lot of closed-minded news gets circulated. So I think if we're in a positive group with open-minded people and open-hearted people, I think we could be a really positive wave in the sea of negativity that Facebook can sometimes become.
Totally. And actually, I completely deleted my Facebook because,
oh wow,
I just was so tired of seeing like people who are really close to me share like some really awful stuff pretty constantly. Eventually there's a point where you've spoken up enough and it's not getting through, and it's just mentally and physically exhausting. So I was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna just yeet out of here. And I deactivated my Facebook, but social media is my job, so I needed to create like a shadow Facebook, if you will. So I have like a work only Facebook with no friends, and that's exactly how I want it. And so if you see Heather with the picture of a sheep, that's me. But don't friend me, because I'm just here for work and fun conversation and your vegan recipes.
cool. Noted. Yes. Just engage in the VCC.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to talk about on the fat phobia discussion right now?
Just take care of yourself. That's the biggest thing. Just for everyone out there, just take care of yourself. It's tough trucking out there. And don't feel bad if the quarantine 19 or whatever is something on your horizon. Just take care of yourself as best you can and throw out your scale.
Yes. Yes. And follow people who are encouraging. I mean, the Vegan Chub Club in the past has gotten some like shade on, oh, you're promoting obesity, blah, blah, blah. And like, that's not what it's about. That's such an immature thing to say about a community like this. Honestly, it's a place where you're promoting that you're more than just what you look like and what you eat.
Yes. And there's actually a whole lot of research out there about the obesity epidemic that paints it in a little bit of a different light, that I encourage people to research that a little bit. Again, I'll sing the praises of Your Fat Friend has a whole like Instagram story highlight about the word obesity and how it's used to put down fatter people. And it's actually even starting to become considered as a slur. So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone who's ever been in a doctor's office and had the word obesity written on your papers, like, what feelings does that evoke for you? Not good ones. Especially when you go in and you're like, my left eye hurts. And then you walk out with a list with a paperwork and it says your conditions are eye pain and obesity.
I'm like, what the hell?
Okay.
Thanks for all the help. Yeah. And I think right now, yeah, everyone is already scared. The fear is already perpetuated on every single level. There is misinformation left and right everywhere you look. And my personal take on all of it is exactly what you're saying, Heather. Like, if you see something that is perpetuating fear and harm and hate, then find a way to counteract it. Also, limit your consumption of news. Change who you're following and watching and listening to if you need to and if it helps. And I do think it's important to have your own world, have your own agenda, have your own routine or not routine, and just have what you can look forward to every single day. I think that that's so important right now.
Definitely.
Well, I was going to ask you about your vegan wedding, but I'm wondering if maybe we should save that for a potential future episode down the line.
I probably could fill up an hour talking about it. So if you want to save it, that's fine.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, then, yeah, next time, maybe whenever we can get Heather on the schedule again, maybe we can dive into her vegan wedding planning and in general, just talk about wedding life, married life, and all of that good stuff. So I'm very curious to hear. It seemed like on your Instagram you had a really fun wedding, and it was beautiful, and everything looked wonderful, and it looked so fun.
It was the best day of my life, definitely. I look back on it with such fondness, and my heart goes out to everyone who had a wedding planned during this time and has had to cancel or reschedule.
So true.
I hope if that applies to you, that you're able to find some joy in this quarantine and experience a wedding at a later date, because I've hardly ever felt so much love in one room before. It was definitely the best day ever, and completely vegan and completely wonderful, and I adored it.
Yes.
And if you have any questions about planning a vegan wedding, please don't hesitate to reach out to me either in the Vegan Chub Club Facebook group or privately on my Instagram.
That's awesome. That's so nice of you to offer that. Yeah, it can be very difficult, and especially right now, I've got photographer friends who are just, everything's on hold, and you know, money is such an issue with all of that. So yeah, and vegan on top of it, you know, if that's your wedding theme, then I mean, it can definitely just be a whole ordeal right now in quarantine. So that's awesome that you are a great resource for that, and I'm excited to talk about it in the future.
Yay, me too.
Yay. Well, thanks again for all of your insight and all of your history on yourself, and it was so great to talk about sanctuaries and everything about the For the Animal perspectives of veganism, as well as diving into your fat vegan story, and maybe also next time if you have any other experiences you'd like to talk about or any other empowering motivation, I would love to hear about it from you as well. And then yeah, of course, all of us being in solidarity in this time of quarantine, I think is so important. So I'm so grateful that we had a chance to hear your voice on all of these topics, and I can't wait to catch up with you again sometime.
Yeah, I can't wait to be back. This was really fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Stay tuned for the next episode, everyone. And until next time, we'll talk to you soon, Heather.
Great. Look forward to it.
Bye.
The conversation doesn't have to end here, my chubby friends. Follow us at Vegan Chub Club on Twitter, at The Vegan Chub Club on Instagram and Facebook, and be sure to join the Facebook group to share your story and let us know if you are interested in being a podcast guest. Yes, you! Follow Heather at Official Fat Vegan on Instagram and Miranda at Uprooted Foodie. Until next week.